It's a trap.
Hello and welcome to episode number 184 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan, and I'm joined as always by my co-hosts, Carson Ray.
Hello, everyone. It's a great day to talk about X-Wing.
And John McDermott.
Hello, everyone. Happy to be here as always.
Hello, everyone. You guys are really set on that. Great. So this week we're going to be talking about some world's hype a little bit. We know some side events coming up that we're actually all pretty hyped for. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the Coruscant Invitational. And Carson's got an exciting announcement about that, I think. So,
Yeah, it's going to be a sweet side event.
Is it a side event? I don't know if we can classify it as that.
Well, for me, I think it's going to be the main event, but we'll get into that in a little bit later.
Awesome. And then we also got the question of the week, too, which involves everyone's favorite separatist ace, so we'll get into that a little bit later on. So lots to talk about today. I think we should just jump right into it.
All right, so we got the schedule layout and some details about all the side events being played at Worlds, and I think they look pretty sweet. Definitely got me thinking, like, you know, winning the Worlds tournament would be cool and all, but I could just, you know, skip day 1A and just play more of these side events. They look pretty awesome.
Yeah, and we already knew there were going to be on-demand pods for the event, but they've announced a couple different formats and options that you'll be able to run at Worlds, and I think they're all pretty interesting. They're all very different, too. I think a big part of it is Fantasy Flight's trying to highlight a lot of the content coming out of the new Epic Battles expansion. So yeah, we've got, first off the list here, we've got Epic Battles 2v2. So hopefully this means that we'll actually see this expansion in hand, the Epic Battles expansion, at Worlds. I'm pretty optimistic about that. What do you guys think?
I had never played a lot of Epic in first edition, so I think it would be really cool to see it work in a side event and then hopefully, you know, get into it in second edition. The concept seems cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's for sure going to be available at Worlds. There's no way it cannot. They're having side events with it. Whether or not it'll be released, you know, far enough in advance in Worlds where you can really, you know, prepare a squad and, you know, do a lot of list building ahead of time, I'm not sure, but if not, you know, just make sure you pack your Raider or Corvette and a few extra X-Wings.
Yeah, I think that's one of the issues, right? Like, I'm assuming we'll have the expansion at the event, but hopefully they'll update the squad builder at least ahead of time so we can start building squads here. Because it's, I mean, pretty easy for those of us in Minnesota or, you know, having friends in Minnesota to get ships together for an Epic event. It'll be a little harder to pack everything, especially if you don't know what you're going to need to run this event.
Right. Well, and, you know, 2v2 is, I think, the best way to play Epic. You know, you can share your ships, and it lets you build the bigger list anyway. So I'm just going to be on your team, Tim, and borrow all of your Epic stuff.
That seems appropriate. Yeah, like having the two-player setups, too, just lets you deal with like a lot of the little stuff of maneuvering ships. You can move through that way quicker when you have two sets of hands going at it. We had a really fun match up against some Fly Better Squadron people at the last Worlds, so maybe we'll get a rematch of that. That should be pretty cool.
Right. I mean, they've done this at Worlds before with, you know, Epic and First Edition, and for me, it's always kind of been the highlight of Worlds was playing the Epic side event. So I'm so glad that Epic's returning and we get to play it at Worlds. It's just like, it's a very more laid back, you know, approach to X-Wing. I mean, yes, you can make really competitive squads in Epic as well, but, you know, just the manner of gameplay is a lot more laid back, and I think it's just really fun and awesome.
Yeah, and they're shaking it up a little bit, too. I'm really loving that they bring it back, because it honestly is one of those signature events from Worlds, one of the reasons to get hyped for Worlds. It's going to be taking place, though, over 2 3-hour rounds, so the first round will be players just playing a standard 2v2 Epic game. And then the second round is going to cover, I think, a scenario from the multiplayer expansion. So that'll be pretty cool.
Right. And so here we get to try out, you know, some of the really cool new content being added with that Epic expansion, because, you know, you can use the Epic ships. You know, that's the main appeal of the Epic format where it's always been. But, you know, now we're going to have these sweet scenarios being added. A lot of new ways to play. And so I like that they're really showcasing that here.
And they already did start highlighting a lot of the content for the Epic expansion in their last FFG live stream. So we've already seen how wings fly a little bit, but I'm hoping they'll publish the rule set here soon, because that would be that'd be awesome to see at least in advance, so we can have some more specific familiarity with the way the game goes.
It's cool to see that they're taking some of the other scenarios from the Epic Battles 2 and actually doing non-Epic side events based on them. So one of the other side events that they published is called Four-Player Aces High, which is actually based off of the Aces High scenario that's coming out in Epic Battles, which to my knowledge, we don't actually know that much about, which is pretty cool. But basically, each person is going to bring an 80-point ace, and then it's going to be... like a four-player game, three rounds of that, and you're trying to score points based on whatever the situations in this scenario are.
Yeah, this scenario seems sweet. And I think part of the reason that I am really excited about these side events is they're just showing us new other ways to play X-Wing. You know, I really enjoy the standard 200-point format where we just line up and try to destroy each other. But, you know, getting some... you know, scenarios with perhaps different objectives, or now a four-player variant. It's just really sweet and really mixes things up. And, you know, 80 points for a single ship, there's a lot of options there. Will it just be Nia and Nub? Probably, but, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can load them out. And four players K-turning back and forth, that sounds pretty fun.
And I like, this seems like a really fun event too, just to farm some prize wall tickets from. So, I mean, I know we're promised to do a bunch of live stream from Worlds, but I'm hoping I get some time off enough to at least run through one round of this, you know, because I think this would be super cool.
Well, and yeah, if this is something you're interested in seeing, you know, maybe you want to run this at your store. You know, let us know if that's something you want to see being streamed at Worlds. Let us know and we can make that a priority.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if people want to see this format going, I'm sure I could convince guys over at FFG Organized Play to let us stream it a little bit at Worlds. But I mean, I think the biggest side event announcement, though, is one that I know Carson's excited about, because, you know, over time we've talked about, you know, given chess examples and chess metaphors to describe how to play X-Wing. Well, now we're seeing the most direct connection between X-Wing and chess that we've ever seen in the history of the game.
Oh, I'm sure you're talking about the chess clock format. I think it's called the extended countdown timer, where players are going to have a pool of minutes that they're going to use up during their ship's activations, during the activation phase, and when they engage in combat. And if you run out of time, you lose.
Yeah, so this is obviously based off of speed chess formats there, where each player has a certain amount of game time when they're playing chess, and then anytime their turn is active, that timer's clicking down, they move their piece, they click the timer, it shifts over to their opponent. So I think this is interesting. I'm sure FFG is just kind of testing the waters a little bit to see how they could further, you know, modify game formats in the future. Maybe not the main X-Wing event, but provide a different competitive format. Because there's something different about having to play quickly, make your decisions more quickly. If you're really on a timetable there where if you take too much time, you lose, that can actually dramatically affect the pace of the game and the way the game is played, right? Like, suddenly people have to get better at making quick decisions.
Right. I mean, so I've only played a little bit of speed chess, and I'm very bad at it. It's a completely different skill to play the game as quick as possible. What would happen would be I would just, you know, not make decisions quick enough and run out of time and lose, was how all of my speed chess games ended. For X-Wing, I think I'm a little better at the decision-making than I am at chess, so I think I could do a little bit better here. But it's fascinating to really figure out just, you know, where you are spending your time. I think this is just going to be a fascinating, you know, personal player discovery experience playing in this.
Well, and it's going to be interesting too, because the format isn't going to time the planning phase, which is when, you know, your dial setting happens and some of the most critical decisions happen in the planning phase, you know, maybe aside from target priority and repositioning. But it's going to be interesting to see kind of how having the 40 minutes per player really puts the burden of execution on people to move their ships at a reasonable pace and roll dice at a reasonable pace. And I think it'll be really good to have some of that information.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not sure if I want this to be implemented into, you know, main competitive X-Wing, but I am curious about that future. And I think it'll be really cool to try it out here, you know, in a side event of Worlds. Just to see, you know, first, is it even fun? You know, like, I think waiting for the other player to make decisions is not fun when that takes too long. But also the stress of, you know, now I have something else I have to manage and keep track of. That could make for an unfun game. So I think trying this out is going to be really cool.
Well, and I think it's well-suited to be a side event at Worlds, too, because you're going to have a great pool of players to pull from to try it out, get a lot of responses. I'm actually just really excited for this event. Again, I hope I get a chance to play through it, because I think it's going to be a different play experience. Honestly, I guess, John, Carson, you live in Colorado, so you're no help, but I guess me and John could maybe try this out in the future here, too. Do a live stream or something. That might be fun.
Yeah, just give it a shot and see how it works. I'd be down.
Right, and say this, you know, does become a format moving forward. It'd be really interesting, you know, does that warp the meta? You know, do you players avoid 8-ship lists because that's too much time it eats up? Or, you know, because players might make mistakes because they're rushed on time, is it easier to punish them with, you know, those really strong early game lists? And I don't really know, but I think it's be really interesting to see if that does become a thing.
All right, so we do have an exciting announcement related to the Coruscant Invitational. As you all know, the Coruscant Invitational is going to be a pretty limited event occurring on the Wednesday of Worlds Week. So the very first day of the event, well, a lot of us scrub players are going to be playing in the Last Chance qualifier. There'll be an event there. Fantasy Flight has announced it's going to be a team event. So basically, almost exclusively winners from all of the System Open Series events across the world will be competing to try
hey,
and take
don't worry,
the
chance. They let one rookie in.
One scrub made it in. And I guess that's our exciting announcement, right, Carson?
Yeah, so winning Gen Con made me an alternate on the North American team. So it looks like currently that I am going to be playing in Coruscant.
Super cool.
That's pretty exciting. Landing as a substitute there, you're going to be representing what is a mixed team. We are North America plus, I guess you could say, Oceania, kind of Singapore, Australia, things not in Europe.
Yeah, so the Coruscant Invitational is going to be a two-team event. You have Team Europe facing off against North America and Singapore. Basically, seven players from North America, and then our captain, Sen Yong, from Singapore. It's going to be leading us. So it's going to be a pretty cool just showdown of all the System Open champions.
And the formatting for this one's going to be pretty interesting. One of the promises Fantasy Flight made when they initially announced it is that all factions would be represented at this event. And the way they're executing that is since each team has eight players, each player is going to represent a different faction within the game's faction there, with the team captain being able to repeat one of the factions that was picked.
Right, so there's a lot of pretty cool preparation for this event because, you know, you have to figure out not just, you know, what the best list is, but what the seven best lists are. And maybe there's even two strong lists within the same faction, so you want to spread that out a little bit. But the teams themselves are just really cool. You know, the System Open champions, these are, you know, some of the best players in the world. And so having, you know, all 16 of them facing off against each other is pretty sweet. And, you know, I've seen some of these European players when they've come out to Worlds before, but it'll be exciting to meet some of the other ones as well. But yeah, Team Europe looks really strong.
Yeah, over on Team Europe's side, we've got Francois Cure, Fan Langelin, Alessandro Marmarini, and Niklas Nilsson.
And then we have Jure, Benedict, Marcius Krakowczyk, and Jack Mooney, who is the team captain for Team Europe.
Yeah, so all great players there. I've seen Jack and Fawn play at previous Worlds, so I know the caliber of player I'm going to be up against. Looking pretty strong.
But we've got a pretty great team over here, right?
Right, well, they have at least got seven pretty good players.
Plus you.
Yeah, could have been eight.
I don't know. I'd include Knuckles.
yeah, so I'll be replacing Phil Booth, which I think is unfortunate for North America because he's One of the, you know, I try to shorten the list of players that I think are better than me, but I don't think I'll ever get past Phil there. He's just absolutely one of the best year after year.
It's kind of funny, too, because he won out at the Phoenix System Open, which he crushed me in the last round of Swiss, so he actually destroyed my chances. But yeah, he totally wrecked
me.
Oh,
he crushed
me
there, too.
Bad variance. Yeah, so he definitely earned that spot, so I think it's a little ironic that you're ending up being the one to take it. That's pretty sweet.
Right.
We also... Other great players, though, on the team besides you, Carson. You are a great player.
Sure. Right, so the real all-stars, we have Kaelin Wong, Joel Killingsworth, Daniel Taylor, Stephen Mitchell, Andrew Knuckles, Mark Tippett, and Sen Yang.
And Sen Yang's the team captain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be a pretty exciting event, right? So the first part of it, four rounds of team versus team pairings. So those are going to be pretty much basic games of X-Wing. And then this is all culminating in one final round of the new Epic format, right?
Yeah, so Epic will be showcased here as well. So I know I'm going to get at least one game of Epic in at Worlds. Hopefully I'll find time for
right.
more. But yeah, so it's going to be four rounds of team pairings. So this is going to be similar to how it was done for the X-Wing Team Championship, which was done over in Europe. Really cool event, you know, where the captains pair up matchups from the other teams. So, you know, if you have a hard counter to another list, you can try and get that paired up, but your opponent might be able to target your weakness as well. And so you kind of have to prioritize your matchups. And so I hope they do some streaming of that, because that'll be really interesting. That decision-making is always really cool. And then hopefully you see if it pays off during the round.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing for you to get a decent pairing, Carson, but it's another where you have to deliver on it.
Right. Well, and then there's also the upsets where, you know, you don't get the good pairing, but you manage to pull it out. And that's really cool. And so, you know, having it be a team event, it's cool because you need to do the best you can so that, you know, everyone else can succeed. And maybe that means taking a tough matchup because it's going to give your other teammates a much better chance to win. And so there's just a lot going on in these events. And so I think it'll be really cool. I was going to be watching this if I wasn't playing in it. So I'm really excited to be playing in it, though. All right, before we close out, I got just a question for you guys. You know, when we have the Nantex, particularly Sunfock, going around with that ensnare, dealing out those tractors, really making life difficult for some small base ships. My question is, you know, should you really be sinking a lot of points into a small base ace, or is that kind of a liability at this point with Sunfock ensnaring them?
For those of you who aren't running Separatists right now or haven't gotten to play against a lot of Wave 5, Sunfek's one of the new Nantex pilots, the I-6 pilot. Those ships all come with the Pinpoint Tractor Array ability, where after you execute a maneuver, you can gain a tractor token to perform a rotate arc action. So they have a bullseye primary weapon of 3 and then a mobile arc of 2. The real reason that comes into play and why the I-6 is relevant is because the ensnare talent, which scales up in points on Sunfac, it's 24 points. At the end of the activation phase, if you are tractored, you may choose one ship in your mobile arc at range 0 to 1, transfer one tractor token to it. So the fear here is this is a pretty good way to deal with small base ships, since medium and large base ships require multiple tractor tokens to get tractored. The ones most at risk from this ability would be small base ships, where, you know, if they get tractored, they could lose firing arcs as soon as they're dealt that token. And this also, you know, benefits the Nantex, where you're using that tractor as a cost to get basically a free reposition and rotate your arc. And when you use ensnare, you basically take away the penalty for getting that free reposition. You know, you shift off losing that defense die and actually gain an advantage on someone else.
And tractor definitely feels bad, you know, as a small base, getting kind of put where your opponent wants to put you, and then having that reduced agility. Overall, I feel like there's been a lot of outcry against Sunfock so far, but I mean, it's just a ship. Like, he's still only got 4 hull points. I mean, he can move pretty fast, but the dial's not like super great. I mean, there are definitely ships out there with better dials. I think there's just been a little bit of overreaction to the power of this ship. He's also only been out for like a week, so I feel like we need to see more of him. But I feel like he's not like as big of a deal. He's not like Finn level big deal.
Well, Finn's not a big deal anymore either, but that's a different story.
I mean, when you load out Sunfac with Ensnare, he comes in at 78 points, which is pretty expensive for a 4-hit point ship. I mean, we're talking, you know, almost Anakin loaded out in a 7B levels of expense. And I don't know, I'm kind of mixed on this because, first of all, I don't think it's going to be a huge, you know, negative play experience for a lot of people. I think the ability will be useful. I think definitely one of the areas where you'll see it is at the local game store level, where people who aren't familiar with this ability, it could seem pretty oppressive, right? Where you're just basically controlling where they move after they move, forcing them to lose shots. I think once you understand what's going on here, it's a little bit easier to play around. Because, like you said, at the end of the day, it is just a 4-hit point ship, you know? So you can destroy it. I see that happen all the time with my Obi-Wan, and he's got some pretty decent mods.
Well, I feel like we've talked about it before, too. Like, for the Separatist faction, at least competitively, it seems like it's more worth the points to get, you know, in the case of Sunfac, like, 3 more Vultures, or to put some points into, you know, a Count Dooku or a Darth Maul, Sith Infiltrator. I feel like it's just a better value. Like, you're going to get more over the course of the game out of it, depending on kind of where the, I guess, bids are falling right now with other I-6s. Like, I mean, Sunfac could melt to a couple I-6s pretty quick if they get to outposition him.
Yeah, and I mean, the Separatists already isn't a faction that's big on bidding really deep, because up until this point, they really haven't had a reason to do that. So yeah, because you're kind of stuck in the middle here, because if you're running Sunfac, you're probably also just running some Vultures or some Hyenas or something else. I guess if there's a build out there that uses like the Sith Infiltrator, so you do more of a like the non-swarm build, which I feel would be kind of shocking for the Separatists, since that's really their main game plan. Swarm builds typically don't lend themselves to large bids, so if you're squeezing in Sunfac, first of all, that's about half, you know, little less than half your list dedicated to one ship. Whereas you could, you know, in a 200-point squad, get like 7 or 8 fighters at least.
Well, and we've seen some success with like the heightened perception Count Dooku. So even with like no bid, you just force yourself up to a 7 and then use the tractor beam to put an ace on a rock or get it out of position before any of the other ships shoot anyway.
Right, and so there you're getting the tractor effect on a much more durable platform. I mean, I think there are going to be games where, you know, they will be able to destroy your ace and you're going to be down a bunch of points and still there's going to be a bunch of ships on the table against you because you got tractored on a rock. But I think you can probably play around that. You know, there's probably something you did beforehand to get to that point. And if it goes wrong for the Separatists and they're down 80 points and don't have as many ships back to answer, that can really be bad for the Separatist player as well. So I think it's strong, but probably not a reason to leave the aces at home.
I mean, I think really the biggest disappointment here is that we didn't get a Poggle the Lesser pilot.
It wouldn't even be a ship. It would just be a model of him because he has wings flying in space.
Definitely my favorite character from the second movie.
Yeah, he can fly one hole. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you have any feedback for us, throw it at us. You can message us through Facebook. You can tweet at us on Twitter. Let us know, do you want to see us try out this countdown timer thing? Do you want to see us stream some of these side events from Worlds if we're able to? Definitely let us know. Give us some feedback on that. You can always go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
If you like listening, you can go on iTunes and leave the podcast a 5-star review saying what you liked and why you think other people should listen.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us.
Again, folks, thank you so much for listening. We're hoping to see at least some of you at the World Championships, which is, you know, just a few weeks away.
And if you aren't going to Worlds, be sure to watch some streams because there's going to be some sweet games of X-Wing.
Otherwise, we'll talk to you next week.
It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to this week. Hello and welcome to Radio. What do I normally say? Hello and welcome to Radio TCX episode. Oh yeah, I got it. It's I can't. I've done this 183 times and I can't remember the thing I've said at the beginning of every one of them. Oh my gosh.
Right, well, Enzio, say that.
Enzio. John, you interrupted Carson, so you're off the show. I'm sorry. We're bringing in Paul Nelson.